Hello and welcome to the Mystic Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and I'm joining you from Los Angeles, California. But not for long. I'm, as some of you know, heading out on a spiritual quest, if you will indulge. And I'm going to be leaving for El Paso, Texas this Thursday via Greyhound bus, and I'll be arriving on 11-11-11 in El Paso. Which my translation skills are withering with age, but I think it actually translates to the step. That's what El Paso means. And it's kind of symbolic, as it's my first step on my journey, leaving the tribe, my comforts, my computer, and Netflix, and you know, munchies and all the stuff that I love to insulate myself with. But I'm really excited to let go of a lot of that. And so I've got my backpack all ready to go, a crazy, you know, internal frame, whole enchilada, legit backpacking setup. And so everything I will have with me will either be on my back or in my hands. I'm bringing my acoustic guitar, and it looks like I'll be heading to Occupy El Paso. So any of you El Paso folk who listen to this, come find me. I will be, I'm pretty sure it's, well, actually, I got to double check. I think it's in San Jacinto. I don't know if that's Jacinto Plaza. And I'm going to be doing some hiking up to the Franklin Mountains, check out the Aztec Caves. And then I wouldn't mind making my way either to Austin to play more music there. Or that's kind of the whole point of this, is to not make plans and let the wind carry me where it will. Hamilton Pools seems pretty cool. 23 miles, little 23 Enigma synchronicity there. 23 miles outside of Austin are these, well, it's kind of like a grotto, a lagoon. You should look up Hamilton Pools in Texas. And I'm trying to think. I want to keep this short because I know bandwidth is low. I'm actually going to make a SoundCloud page for the podcast, which I've actually already done. Let's adjust the windscreen here for the there we go. Yeah, I'm just going to have a SoundCloud player embedded on the Facebook page, facebook.com/mysticmindpodcast, I think it is. And for those of you who want to keep in touch with me while I'm gone, I won't have any mobile devices or telephone or any of that. Just a bunch of survival gear in case I'm caught out in the wild. But I will be hanging out at the various libraries along the way and using their internet. And so you can, you know, you can reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/JesseMillerBand, or for those of you who haven't checked out Critter Jones yet, you can check out facebook.com/CritterJones. And I'm taking a little hiatus from that and just going to go rejuvenate my soul. I had the kids full-time for the last 11 weeks and actually just got back from Oregon. Took them up there where their mom has really made a beautiful life for them and for she and her boyfriend up there. She's teaching at the Waldorf school that they're now attending, and that's just outside of Portland in a quaint town called Hillsboro. So I spent about a week up there sort of easing the transition for the kids and meeting their teachers and checking out Hillsboro, and got to make a little jaunt into Portland, and it was cool. I actually like small towns more these days than big cities, so I found Hillsboro to be nice and quaint with Main Street, and I'll elaborate on that another time. But I'm just thankful that the kids are in a good environment where I can take a deep breath and let go of let go of the need to run the show, the need to control things. You know, that's kind of like, seems to be, you know, when I break it all down, the need for control and the fear of what will happen if I don't get what I want or what I think I need. But most of that is pretty illusory. And so I'm really excited. I mean, there are a couple things I want to mention. One is I want to thank Cal Bashir. He's this guy who's authored this book, The 510-Stage Hero's Journey. And that's really what this episode is about. You guys hear me talk about the hero's journey a lot. You know, Joseph Campbell called it the monomyth, sort of the archetypal skeletal structure of all stories. You know, the one story told over and over again with different characters and different, you know, set and setting, if you will. And, well, I mean, I encourage you guys to do your own research on the hero's journey if it piques your curiosity, as it sort of seems to be void of any ideology or dogma. It is just purely the archetypal process of death and rebirth, of a state of perfection that's lost in the gaining of capacities in order to reinstate a new state of perfection. And on a psychological level, it's the battle between the superego and the id. And, you know, the id desires to control the superego, or rather to destroy it. You know, the antagonism is the id in the hero's journey. And, but the id doesn't realize, or the greater antagonism doesn't realize, that in destroying the hero, or the, you know, who's the carrier of the changing, the one, if you will, the superego. Anyway, the id doesn't realize that if it destroys the superego, it destroys itself in doing so. It's like, you know, total annihilation. Whereas the superego works to contain the id and not throw out the baby with the bathwater, because when all is said and done, and that the process of death, rebirth, is undergone, the need to eventually incorporate the old world becomes apparent, and the old self, and what it is the id has the joy of infancy, or rather like the inner child in a way. And so the hero's journey is symbolic for growing up, sort of getting over the Oedipal complex, as Campbell discusses in The Hero with a Thousand Faces. But that it's also, you know, symbolic of the death rebirth experience, that of that mystical threshold experience of dissolving to one's egoic construct of identity in order to, you know, go into the light, to you know, merge with the Godhead and realize that you've never left, and that's your only true nature, that really there's no self but just, you know, one consciousness. This is all stuff that I've said a lot, and so hopefully am not just boring you, but that maintenance, as my friend Adam often reminds me, maintenance is the name of the game. Really having these ideas stashed away in the recesses of our mind, ultimately, if not put into practice, and, you know, repeatedly reminding ourselves, ah yes, come back to now, come back to the breath. Very basic things, but that maintenance is the name of the game. But that it almost seems like we can, if not accelerate the change, become aware of the map, the process of an unfoldment. And that's where I find the hero's journey. You know, when there's not much else to cling to, it's sort of the bare bones structure of death and rebirth, and leaving the old world, and the gaining of mentors and helpers, and, you know, encountering the road of trials, different threshold guardians to seize the sword and the elixir and slay the dragon, and or be dismembered by the dragon and fall into the abyss to be reborn and meet the goddess, and, you know, sort of the atonement and recognition by the father. And then, you know, eventually like a hand-to-hand battle with the greater antagonism, and sort of the time pressure for forward escape and eventual need to return. Sorry, little interruption there. Yeah, there's nothing like family to remind you of how human you are. Knock, knock, what? I'm doing a podcast. That's funny, just how... The great thing about the holistic aspect of the hero's journey is really, it's just one's own internal battle. And, you know, there is no other, there is no bad guy other than our own disowned shadows and projections. And so, you know, before I just go off on more of the hero's journey or preachiness, you know, it's just, it's good to acknowledge one's own triggers. And partly my wanting to leave everything behind is to remove the luxury of projections. And when all distractions, well... hopefully, fall away. One is sort of left with the stark confrontation of oneself and just all the stuff that we're carrying psychically, physically. And so, yeah, just gonna go rough it for a while. You know, I believe in the power of love and the power of people. And really, I'm just looking forward to not having lists of things to do and plans to see me through. Morning, night to noon, I will be here now, as one of the songs goes. Speaking of songs, I'm going to leave you guys with a song of mine called Hold Your Chin Up. Just a minute, just finishing a podcast. And, yeah, if you guys feel inclined... I'm, you know, sort of cashed in all my ducats and what little money I have. Ooh, bad linguistic habits, Jesse. Bad linguistic habits. The plethora of money I have, I'm taking with me, and this is a call to all y'all who have not donated and who feel like doing so, because now's the time when it actually counts for me. So. But all you folks who are continually giving and giving, please don't. And any of you who have extra and feel like it would make you feel good to kick me down a couple bucks, you can do so at mysticmind.podomatic.com. There's a little PayPal donation button there. And yeah, due to bandwidth problems, this should be streamable straight from the Facebook there, or soundcloud.com/mysticmindpodcast. Other than that, I love you guys. I hope to meet some of you on my journey. I'm pretty much open to going any and everywhere. You know, I encourage you guys. I mean, shoot, if you can drop out, do it. I think that's ultimately what the Occupy movement, as far as I can distill, sort of symbolizes, is there's not really one cohesive plan or solution or organization, but it's just a bunch of people saying, no, we don't know necessarily the solutions, but we know shit's fucked up, and I refuse to participate until we address it. I highly recommend you guys check out 2012, A Time for Change, Daniel Pinchbeck. His documentary, very inspiring, puts responsibility solely in your lap, my lap. And there's a great Joseph Campbell series on Netflix. And there's one in particular that I watched the other day. I'm spacing on the name. Starts with an S. I mean, that stuff's really inspiring, but, I mean, he always brings it back to, really, you know, when you die, are you going to stay stuck to the wheel of death and rebirth, desire and fear, the two things that really bind us to this existence, or are you going to let yourself dissolve and go into that perfect light? And as the Sufis say, you must die before you die. That's sort of the point. Is to induce our own psycho-spiritual, physiological, mumbo-jumbo death-rebirth and not have to biologically die in order to confront that, what, you know, which most others avoid. It's like Mara talking to Buddha, "You who goes where no one else dares, will you be my god?" And, you know, he responds something, well, this is in Keanu Reeves. What is that, little Buddha? You know, architect, you will no longer build your house here. And I guess with a lot of rainbow bridge symbolism, the number 42, if you guys are into synchro mysticism, check out 42 in the rainbow bridge. I mean, I'm trying to think what else I can impart before I bail here. I think I'll take a little portable recorder and interview some people down at the Occupy movement. But just, I mean, we are complicit when it comes to all the problems of the world. I mean, I just look at all the trash I throw away, all the shit that I buy, all the crap that I go through. And there's, you know, there's a fundamental disconnect and projection of otherness, really, on a societal level. It's all you. It's all me. It's all we. And, you know, I think we're waking up from the delusion that we're separate from our environment and everything else. And so, anyway, enough of my preachiness. I love you guys. And, you know, if you feel inclined to reach out and extend an invitation for me to come visit you. Really, I mean, I've got a tent and would be happy to camp in someone's backyard for a day or two and kind of move on and see the world around me and participate. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you guys are looking for some mindless, escapist, filmist enjoyment, as lame as it is, check out Disney's The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Some basic goodies in that, you know, the need to participate. Rubber-soled shoes disconnect us from the Earth's electromagnetism. Most of us are not grounded. I'm looking forward to going barefoot at times. Oh, another one of my addictions, dual survival. Couple survival guys in different settings, surviving. But it's funny, because survival is probably the word that encapsulates my sort of the old paradigm. Survival implies that we're separate from everything and that we need to, like, dominate or live in opposition to anything else. When surrender seems to be more of the new paradigm. And so, one great quote in 2012, A Time for Change, is, "Nature doesn't sustain or survive. Nature flourishes and thrives, and we're not separate from nature." And so, yeah, anyhow, love and blessings. Please email me at mysticmindpodcast@gmail.com or find me on Facebook. Other than that, just lots of love, you guys. You know, what is another Joseph Campbell quote I can leave you guys with? You know, the cave that you fear entering holds the treasure you seek. And so when I camp in Tom Mays Park in Franklin Mountains and do my Aztec Caves trail hike, I'll have to report back and let you guys know what the cave experience is like. In fact, the cave is after the hero crosses the first threshold out of the new world, eventually enters the cave. And so it's just interesting to see. I mean, these things speak, you know, they sing, these myths, as Campbell says, if you just sort of open yourself up to them. And it's interesting to see a new mythos evolving through using that myth. Hopefully, whatever it is, you know, whether it's a combination of quantum mechanics meets, you know, the environmental movement for permaculture meets more of like a goddess worshipping, earth worshipping. I mean, just the whole salvationist, we're a fallen creation that needs to be redeemed. That mythology is really not serving us any longer, because then we're waiting. We're waiting around for our problems to be solved instead of working together, because, you know, as my buddy Lorenzo often says, quoting the Hopi elders, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." Anyhow, I keep going on and on. So I'll leave it at that. Here is Hold Your Chin Up Anyway, because ultimately judging helps nothing, and so we need to be gentle with ourselves during this time of awakening, but we need to be proactive and compassionate. So I hope you guys enjoy this song. It's just a little demo that Corey, my brother, helped me record. And I'll, you know, hopefully hear from you guys soon. Again, you can make donations at mysticmind.podomatic.com or just an email makes all the difference. It's nice to hear from you guys. Again, love and blessings, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Staring out at a distant world, I hide within these bedroom walls. Vision schemes of a pleasant dream, afraid to step in case I fall. Groundhog's Day, more of the same. Watching shadows for a sign. Glued to the tube and its stories too. Distracted from the pain inside. It's okay, hold your chin up anyway. That was then, now is now, so go your way. In the end, it'll all be fine, I swear. If it's not okay, then it's not the end. A heart that weeps is a heart at peace. So why is it hard for me to cry? Hanging on to the pain of past, a story that I tell in my mind. Every day is another chance to choose who I want to be. Gonna shake these demons off my back, live the life that I want for me. It's okay, hold your chin up anyway. That was then, now is now, so go your way. In the end, it'll all be fine, I swear. If it's not okay, then it's not the end. City sidewalk, graveyard sand, whispered winds of a thousand years. Gentle waves, simple peace, following morning and it's gone. Running out, it won't be long till I break through. Dissonance and harmony, give each other meaning. Seasons come and the seasons go, forgetting and remembering. Dissonance and harmony.